afternoon. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown with Our Culture, Current Events, Catholic Things. We talk about for 50 minutes every afternoon. Big news that everyone seems to be talking about. Aaron Hernandez taking his own life in prison. Of course, the tragically, fatally flawed. Really could be anything. When you get to the NFL, that's kind of already the lottery. Right? Because, I mean, you've worked hard. You've got to have tremendous talent to get there. But so few who dream of this ever get to that point. And why this is particularly tragic on a number of levels. Also, hate crimes in Fresno, California, with black-on-white murder there. What is happening in that dynamic? We'll explore that. And Facebook with some very interesting decisions regarding where their new direction is going. I've been talking about Facebook getting into the world of the drone technology and getting internet access out there to remote areas. They've been talking about that for some time, but now it seems to be the focus is all virtual reality. And I've seen this already in my own cell phone provider with the new VR stuff, and this is where it's at. And what this means for us as we move forward in a more highly connected, quote-unquote, way. We'll talk about that this afternoon as well. All of that and more. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown Almost Hour. Back after this. Good afternoon. We are back. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour, Culture, Current Events, Catholic Things, 50 minutes every afternoon. We have an interesting development, I think, when we look at where social media, quote-unquote social media, may be going now with the recent announcement from Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg, who seems to be going all in an interesting sort of way when it comes to virtual reality. And now it's not enough. It's not enough to have what's already virtually real, essentially, in what we see on Facebook and the fact that there are those out there who don't present the true sides of themselves, generally. And then you got the opposite extreme that occurs with this Cleveland murder and the true reality, the gruesome reality that's there of something of this nature. But ultimately, generally speaking, overarchingly, it's fake, right? It's not our face that people see. It's our facade, right? It's what we put on to say this is the way we want to be seen. Now, it appears that virtual reality is taking shape to the point that Zuckerberg's saying, imagine if you were sitting at your table, so one thing he says, and you're joined by people who aren't there, because virtual reality has now gotten good enough that you could join in as an avatar in a 3D environment. And the other thing he says, if your daughter's a huge Harry Potter fan, you want to turn your house into Hogwarts. Hogwarts? What is it? Hogwarts. Whatever, I obviously know nothing about Harry Potter. But that, to me, is just a little bit weird. Now, the other thing that I have to assume, because robotics are certainly driven, and a lot of the virtual reality stuff is there for the porn industry, you know, is this being pushed and funded somehow? I don't know. I don't know what Zuckerberg's up to in that respect. Facebook, generally, I think, seems to keep it pretty clean from what I gather. You can report and you can say, hey, this is whatever. You can kind of. But then again, I'm not the only one, because I see my friends on Facebook talking about getting these solicitations. They're just solicitations, and they're not generally pornographic in the images that are sent, but in the nature of what is presented, it's solicitations for prostitution, essentially. And I know it's a racket. I know that these are out there, and I've read stories of those who've fallen prey. to accepting friends that then lure them into something compromising and say, well, I've got all of this recorded. Now, if you don't empty your bank account to me, this is going to get released, right? So there's a dangerous, dangerous world when we go into that area. Now, I think, is there a balance? Is there a safe point that says this could be something that could work, or is it something that is just so dangerous? I mean, we talked yesterday, I think, about the slippery slope, and some don't even need the slope to be slippery to slide, right? Some, there's no slipperiness necessary. They're slippery enough. It's usually us. We're the ones who are slippery, let's be honest. But is this a slippery slope that could potentially bring us into an even more disconnected environment, or really is it something that could, I mean, the scenario that Zuckerberg was using sitting around the table, does this mean that we can have dinner wearing a headset, right? The big virtual reality headset. So whatever we're eating, there's some sort of seeing what's real and what, you know, through this, there's some sort of seeing through and in, I don't know. But anyway, so we're there at the dinner table and we can link up with people from across the world who we want to sit down and have this meal with. Now, there's something inherently interesting about that because we want to get together with friends and we stay connected peripherally at best, generally on Facebook with watching each other's posts and photos and keeping up with families. We do that. We do that with people who don't even know we're doing. They don't even know. I get this all the time. Oh, your family's so beautiful. Oh, we love your boys. And I'm like, so you follow me on Facebook? I didn't even know, right? I had no idea. People, it's out there. It's public. It's what happens. But then to be able to bring these people together for a gathering, I mean, that to me, now that gets very interesting because what if I wanted to have a concert? Let's say I wanted to invite my friends to watch me play music. And all they have to do is have their virtual reality visor connected, and they're in my living room, right? I mean, that could be, and that could bring a new level of connectivity in ways that, wow, right? I mean, now we're talking about something that would be highly social and highly connective, but at the same time, is that what it's for, right? Or is there something far more nefarious? I don't know. I don't know. I'd like to think that this really could be a way to bring people together in ways that we're not now. Right? We're kind of still superficial. We're there, but we're not. And I don't know. I happen to believe that Zuckerberg's kind of taken all of this pretty seriously, obviously, with the success that he's seen in this platform. And he knows that there are people who are coming together and connecting in ways that haven't in forever or wouldn't otherwise because of miles or time or attitudes or whatever. But it seems to have broken that ice in some ways. Now is there a way to bring it even more connective? Time will tell. However, there has to be some reality in this whole equation. That, I think, is the other side of this that disturbs me, is if all we're doing is escaping what's real, how is that? I mean, maybe you could say, well, this doesn't have dangerous side effects. Well, you could argue some drugs don't really have dangerous side effects. They're just illegal, right? I think the jury's out on some things that are supposedly more dangerous than what they are. And I'm not saying that I'm a proponent for legalization of drugs, but the human condition is what we need to be more concerned about than any self-medication. So is this an opportunity to self-medicate into a world of virtual reality because your reality is something you don't want to deal with? I think we got to think about that. I mentioned a moment ago, we have the news of Aaron Hernandez, the former NFL star, convicted of murder, convicted of two other counts of murder, acquitted on those two counts apparently just recently, but now apparently, allegedly, hanging himself in his prison cell. And, you know, we're at a point where hopelessness abounds. We know this. We know that there are those who just, I believe the slope was slippery for Hernandez in anything he did. Obviously, look at his troubled past. There are those who just can't reel it in. And anytime we introduce those opportunities to for it to unravel, it could, and I think that that's what we're facing with this, that it just opens up that door. The vast majority of individuals, all is good. We ride in the point of being able to balance. We may get out of balance here or there, whatever. We come back to some sort of compass point to say, okay, this is the trajectory we need to be on. That happens. But then you've got to ask, what door does this open for those who don't have that self-regulator? Hernandez never had a self-regulator, obviously. He did egregious things, obviously, that normal human beings don't do because we have a moral compass. We don't have that moral compass. We're already disconnected. We're already isolated. We're already susceptible. We are slippery because we're going to slip down any slope that presents itself. Now what? Do we just engage all the more? Do we get more and more isolated? And maybe my fears are unfounded. Maybe this is something that could really bring the next level of connectedness, an amazing degree of connectedness. But I'm not convinced, right? I'm not convinced. Because if you can connect with real people, why can't you just build avatars? And why can't you go, oh, okay, here's a bunch of people who don't, I mean, then it's like a video game. The technology's there anyway that we could do this. You just escape it all and you go into your own world where people agree with you and everything's wonderful and they all love you, but they're not real, right? I don't know. It's all a little bit weird still for me. I don't mean to be that guy who's leery and concerned about everything of this nature, but it's just a little bit bizarre. Let's be honest. More to come. We'll be back in a moment. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown Almost Hour. Back after this. Almost Hour, culture, current events, Catholic things, 50 minutes every afternoon. Life after O'Reilly. What happens with Fox News? There seems to be a lot of, at least, speculation that there could be the end to the O'Reilly reign. Now, with the allegations as they are and the challenges that the news organization faces in the wake of this revelation, it seems to be substantiated. It's not something that is all just made up, some sort of let's run this guy's name through the mud. It seems to be almost systematic that there was something going on in this news organization for some time that allowed impropriety of some sort when it comes to the dynamics between the women on staff and the senior male staff members. And as, yeah, I remember saying this. It's so weird. I mean, you look at Fox News's website, which I used to a lot, I gotta admit, pull a lot of news sources there, kind of appreciated their sort of no-nonsense, no-holes-barred approach, if you will. But then at the bottom of their page, and it wasn't because of my search history, it was these were sponsored, not my search-sponsored hits like you see on Facebook. These were paid ads on the Fox News site. And many of them got into really what I thought was kind of questionable, almost escort service-esque. And then the stories that were there, and it wasn't like recommended for you. It was just there. And I thought, who's making these decisions editorially to allow things of this nature on this news site? This seems a little bit uncharacteristic, right? That's kind of what I thought of the news that should be a part of this. This is kind of in a bizarre world, which maybe that bizarre world was reality. It was just the world, the Fox News world, a world where women are treated as property, whether they want to be or not. And I say that with the understanding that even women who, generally speaking, who present themselves as in control and as a commodity, more or less, they still are subjecting themselves to objectification. Now, there's the argument, the age-old argument. Well, they're choosing to do that. Yeah, we choose a lot of things that are unhealthy. Choose a lot of things that are undignified. So we got to realize that. However, given that we're talking about women who were not presenting themselves as anything, apparently, other than professional broadcast journalists who likely had some degree of, I can only imagine, desire to tell the truth, desire to be a part of an organization that they respected, because it seemed as though they took the right approach when it came to the information that they put out there. It was obvious that there was something that a career choice, right? This was, you think about that, you dream about something. I guess that's kind of where I'm struggling to walk through this, because you have this, and the reason why I'm pausing, I've been down this road, not in the same way of like, oh my goodness, now this person's preying upon me, but I've definitely been in those worlds where I think something's going to be something it's not, right? Where my impression from the outside looking in, I think that this organization is something, or these people are some people, or there's something that just really seems appealing, only to get in there and discover that, well, maybe it's really not. Maybe it's not what I thought it was at all. And I think that this is something that we have to really understand, that can happen anywhere, because we will we have this disillusionment about what we're approaching, what we're considering. I mean, that's just, that happens. But how crushing, and I guess this is where I'm ultimately trying to go with this, how crushing it is for a young woman who may be very well aware of her attractiveness, may be very well aware of her power because of her beauty, whatever. And there are women who work that, and I get that. But there are women who just want to be taken seriously as a professional because they believe in the ethic of the medium. They believe in the ethic of the platform. They just want to express themselves in that world. And then when they're preyed upon sexually, it has to crush them at the very core of the, they have to then ask the question, why am I even here? See, I think that that's where this is particularly most difficult. Because then they're not examining themselves for their talent. They're questioning themselves for how this all started to begin with. Does that make sense? See, I think that's the bigger issue, as odd as it sounds. Yeah, the preying upon sexual harassment, whatever, that's terrible. Absolutely. Uncalled for and egregious. But when we reduce someone to that and then they assume that this is all I've got, this is all that's appealing, now that's a problem. And I think that, I don't know, I'm thinking out loud as I discuss this today. I think that dynamism is a real problem that maybe presents itself in other ways that we don't even think about. It could even plague relationships, man-woman relationships all over the place. Because women assume that they're reduced to some sort of base desire, because we all have those base desires. They're wired in us. I think men are especially more attuned or susceptible to falling prey to those desires. But this is a real issue. That now it's not only that this woman is like, oh, great, now I got to deal with this. It's like, oh, do I have value? Do I have worth? Do I have anything to offer? Because is this all I've got? Right? She could be an escort or a stripper or whatever. This is what she's reduced to. I don't think we think about that. I know that maybe not all women feel that way, but I'm trying to really, really put the shoe on the other foot here and go, what would that do to my core being? How would that affect me if I thought that nothing really, it didn't matter. None of this mattered. And I had a slight, very tiny sliver of taste of this one time. And it was flattering. Yes. While at the same time, it was like weird. And I did theater back in the day and I was at a pretty quote unquote prestigious theater company that, as a young man, I was very successful and got amazing jobs and gigs, and I was doing this one particular, working in this one particular company, and the director, I remember, said something flattering, but at the same time, because she said something like, she referred to me publicly around people as being the perfect specimen of a man or something. I'm a kid, I'm 19 years old, 19. 20, maybe 20, which was flattering. But at the same time, it made me ask, I kind of felt cheapened to the point of like, why am I here? Am I here because I'm talented? Or am I here because I happen to be good looking, right? I don't know, which at 19, I look completely different than I do now, just so you know. I had something going for me then. I did. But I didn't want to just be a sex object, right? But it's weird to have those things happen. And I, even on that very, the slight level of that, knowing how I felt at that, it was like, it put a little bit of question in the back of my mind. And to think of a woman who is a professional journalist having to deal with that type of question, I don't know. I think that's even bigger. I was trying to get to O'Reilly and what Fox is going to do next, but we didn't get to that because the real ethic is what we just talked about. More to come. I'll be back in a moment. I'm Leo Brown, Leo Brown Almost Hour. Back after this. Current events, Catholic things, 50 minutes every afternoon. Fresno, California, now with a new tragedy. After a black man decided to murder white men in random order, three men who were killed with his pledge of essentially pitting blacks against whites. Kind of in this very interesting sort of similar fashion of the gentleman in South Carolina who did what he did in the church, right? Going to start this war, black against white. And then this gentleman who perpetrated this crime in Fresno, the alleged gunman, making claims of the Islamic connection with shouting or saying Allah Akbar as he was shooting these gentlemen. So on a number of levels, bad stuff. First off, the random cold-blooded murders, especially right on the heels of what happened in Cleveland, just contributing to the rawness of this wound. But then to bring in race, so contrast and compare, right? The Cleveland thing, tragic. But here's a guy who was not racially motivated, not religiously motivated, just had snapped and was crazy. That's what you got. He was emotionally unhinged. And for whatever reason, decided that this was the best way to deal with that emotional detachment was to go down the path that he went down, which was tragic enough. But this Fresno situation, you got a guy who was doing two things that just really exacerbate this whole thing. Not only multiple murders, but now trying to intentionally target people of the opposite or of another, I don't know, there's not an opposite race, forgive me for saying that, but the another race, intentionally, and someone who has hijacked, which he has, a religion in the process. Because Muslims are not there to try to eradicate their enemies. That's what we generally, that's how Muslims are generally portrayed, and it's what we see many times. But this is not what we're up against. This is the cartoon. It is the extreme. It has happened, yes. Have there been Muslim terrorists? Yes. Are all terrorists Muslim? No. 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 Don't fall for that. Yes, there have been Muslims who have carried out attacks with mass shootings. Are all mass shooters Muslim? No. No. But yet we fall for these stereotypes and we fall for these cartoons, and it's what we invite into our narrative, unfortunately. But when this happens, you can bet there will be those who will see, oh, this guy's a Muslim. So Muslims and our African-American brothers and sisters both getting an unfair portrayal by this guy doing what he's done, because he just happens to be black and Muslim. That's unfortunate. And that, to me, deepens this all the more, because we already have strained race relations. We already have strained faith relations. For someone just to play up the stereotypes and make them more than just personify them, put flesh on them, put them out there for all to see, that only makes this matter worse. Because this guy's not the norm, but he's done such egregious things. He's already up the ante when it comes to this dynamic, and that's not good. It's not good for the black community. It's not good for the Muslim community. You get this guy doing this, it just looks bad all the way around. So how do we now deal with this one? How do we move forward? How do we step forward and say, that's not the way things are? Certainly not the way everything is. It may be what happened here, but it is certainly not the way things have to be or the way things should be or what reality really is. I posted a Gandhi quote, essentially be the change in the world, be the change you want to see in the world, comes from, and I'm paraphrasing, but I posted this over this morning on the Breadbox Media page and shared it on my personal page, but it's basically saying, how do you see the world? Because that's how the world is going to be. You don't have to worry about what others see and what others think. What do you see? Do you see mostly good or do you see mostly bad? Do you see mostly opportunity or do you mostly see dead ends? And this really comes down to how we function and how we succeed and how we relate. And it kind of goes back to what we're talking about in the first segment with this concept of virtual reality. We do shape things by the way we see them. And if we see people at each other's throats, if we see people at odds, if we see a race of human people as being substandard, then we got a problem. If we see an entire religion as being substandard, we got a problem. But that's what we want to do. We want to build those stereotypes. We want to climb onto those soapboxes and shout and denounce and decry those who we think don't think like we do. Those that we think are obviously, clearly on the other side. And not just on the other side. On the other side, it must be eradicated, right? It's Nazism. That's what that is. Anyone doing anything of that nature, exhibiting that type of behavior, I'm sorry, but they're Nazis. They want to return to this golden era of something, and they want to fix it by doing something of that nature. Or maybe they want to jump so far ahead to the golden era that hasn't existed. Well, then they're just basically communistic at that point. Neither of which. Extreme fascism, extreme liberalism to the point of being communistic. Neither is a balance point politically by any means. And you're not going to necessarily get what you want with either one of those, even those who think that that's what they want. It's not going to be available to them if we truly go in that direction, in either extreme. But what we have to realize is that through it all, we can see things differently. We should see things, should try to see things differently. And, you know, grace plays a huge part of that. I talk a lot about Father Richard Rohr, about his meditations. I read his daily inspirations. And one of the things in the email for today, he was talking about the Beatitudes. He's in this world now, and he's talking about mercy. And I didn't know this until today, that mercy is where we get the word merchant. Because mercy is always an exchange. It's a mutual giving. It's of mutual benefit. God is always willing to extend mercy if we're willing to accept mercy. And there's always this exchange, like a merchant. A merchant is always willing to sell if you're willing to buy, right? Are we willing to buy that mercy? Do we want that mercy? God wants to sell it to us. And it's not free necessarily, right? Because that mercy comes with a cost. It comes with an exchange. It comes with an exchange to say, okay, I'll accept your gift of mercy, and I'll expend a little bit of my selfishness, or I'll expend a little bit of my self-centeredness or my sinfulness. We're going to expend that in exchange for mercy. And if we do that, and if we have this attitude of saying, okay, we're going to change a little bit at the time because we are going to accept as much of that mercy as we possibly can. And I actually like this concept. I've talked a lot about accepting grace and embracing grace and all this, but I kind of like this thought that there's something to be spent. It's not free. It's an exchange. I'm going to exchange some of my attitude. I'm going to exchange some of my behavior. I'm going to exchange this for real change. If that's the only way to see this with any kind of real momentum and opportunity. That's all we have time for. Thank you for listening. I'm Leo Brown, Leo Brown Almost Hour. God bless.